Welcome to the Focal Points podcast, brought to you courtesy of my friends at Enphoto. My name is Dori Howell. I am your host, and we are just going to jump right in today. No introductions, no fanciness at all. We are just going to jump right into this. It is December. Can you believe it? Another year has gone by. We will soon be welcoming in year 2023. I personally cannot wait. I had a good 2022. I'm not going to complain about my 2022, but I am looking really, really forward. I know that's bad grammar. I'm very much looking forward to 2023 and what that has in store for me personally, me professionally, and also for all my clients that I work with on a weekly basis. We have just really been working hard and revising some of my coaching programs that I've been teaching for a while, and those will be rolled out this year, and I can't wait to share them with you all. But that is not why we're here today. We are here because I truly believe that having a great business and a great life involves a little bit of planning. You hear all the time, you want to create the business of your dreams, create the life of your dreams, do this in your dreams. But here's the truth when it comes to your dreams. Usually when you're dreaming, you're sleeping and you're not taking any action toward those dreams. So you can dream all you want, and dreaming is wonderful. But when you wake up, you need to start executing. You need to start taking action. And the only way I believe that you can effectively take action to move forward in your personal life or in your business is by reflecting upon what happened to get you where you were today, right? And for some people, reflecting is boring. And I get it. Because a lot of times when you're looking at, like, what should I be tracking? What should I be reviewing? What should I be, you know, how should I be reflecting? What should I be reflecting upon? A lot of times what we get from industry leaders and coaches and that type of thing are a lot of track your inquiries, track how much money you made, track how many social media followers you have, what was your average sale? And it all comes down to basically KPIs, which are key performance indicators, which are basically the numbers in your business. And keeping track of those is very important. And I'm going to talk about those in a future episode. But when it comes to basically reflecting on an entire year, if you haven't been keeping track of your KPIs, does that mean they're telling you to go back for every week and go through your calendar every week and really dive into those numbers? And some people are. And honestly, I would rather rip out my fingernails. I'm not going to do that. So this whole reflecting thing has been lost on me for a long time, except I finally found a miscellaneous blog post that I dug into by a creator. And then I researched the method behind what she was what they were writing about. And it wasn't for photographers, just creatives in general. And it came about, they had a way of being able to reflect upon your business and your life that really resonated with me a lot. And so today on the podcast, I'm going to walk you through this method. And on the show notes page, if you want the links to where I got this information and how I put this together, I'm going to link those. So if this is resonating with you, I want you to dive in a little bit deeper just to get a little bit of the background of behind this, of things that I can't go in today into a 20-minute recording, right? That's not how this works. I can't give you everything, but I will give you access to what I found on the show notes page. So be sure and check that out. And also sign up for your 75% discount sample from Enphoto with a complimentary accordion album. If you haven't done that yet, sign up today. I know it's really great. Okay, commercial aside. So I want to talk about this way of reflecting. And specifically, this is a way of reflecting for creative business owners and entrepreneurs. And it's not necessarily a full audit. It's not necessarily a way to go back and doing KPIs. But here's the thing. Pretty soon, what you're going to want to do is do some New Year's resolutions into 2023. Or instead of resolutions, you might want to do some goal setting for what you want to accomplish next year. And that's all really, really great. But how many of you have stuck with your resolutions and your goals that you set in 2022? Are you still on track with those goals? Have those goals shifted and changed? Have you forgotten about some? Did you just completely fail at others? Or did you find a few key that you really were able to keep track of? So for me in 2022, I had some goals, some financial goals for my business. I had some goals personally. I had some goals just in my relationships. And for the most part, to be honest with you, I failed at all of them. I'm not going to lie. And I'm not going to come together and say, oh, I was really awesome. And all my resolutions in 2022 were fabulous. And I did everything and I completely rocked those, you know, and beyond. No, that's not what happened with me at all. I basically wrote down a whole bunch of things that I wanted to do and I didn't do them. Now, that's not because I didn't try to do them. It's because life changes and life shifts. And sometimes what you start the year wanting to do, you get a month into it or so, and you realize, I don't really want to do that anymore. Or this doesn't feel right. And that's totally okay. And that's what happened with me. I started 2022 with some certain goals in mind. And then I realized about first quarter and that I didn't want to do those things. I was tired of thinking the old way. I didn't want to follow the plan that maybe had been I put in front of me, and it didn't feel authentic to me anymore. So what I did succeed on, I succeeded in continuing to raise a great kid who had a really hard year and crushed all her goals by the end of it. I ended up losing last year, I think, 90 pounds. I had started my weight loss journey the year before that in 2021, and I had lost a certain amount of weight. And in 2022, I was able to continue doing that. I continued, believe it or not, I continued on my workout plan, and I still walking consistently 3 to 5 miles a day, continue to make myself a better person physically. So I tell my husband all the time, it's like, this is just so I can live a long, healthy life and drive you crazy for longer, right? And I feel better. I feel that I look better and I feel better. I feel healthier. I had to have a small surgical procedure a couple months ago. And for the first time in my life, when I was talking to the anesthesiologist before that procedure, he turned to me, he looked at me, he's like, it's so great when someone who is perfectly healthy comes in because it makes my life and my job so much easier. Never in my life had I been called perfectly healthy. Ever. And that was like a huge light bulb moment that all the work that I had put into and all the time that I had put into to working out over an hour a day and watching what I eat was really, really starting to pay off. And it wasn't easy. Working out to an hour, hour and a half every single day means that a lot of other things get compromised in the process. And I knew that that's what was going to happen. So there are days where I don't work as long, or I don't get things done, or the house is a little bit messy, but that goal was a priority for me. And I'm really proud of myself that in 2022, I've stuck with it. And I plan on doing it now that it's become a habit into 2023. But there's other things that I didn't get off the plan. I wanted to launch a course for photographers in a certain area, and I have the whole outline done. I just need to record it, but that's not done yet. That's coming soon. And there's other things that I wanted to do as well. I wanted to do some things with my family and, you know, things get sidetracked and all of those other things. So when it came to my 2022 resolutions, some things I rocked on and some things I didn't. And I'm going to say that that's probably the same for you. So let's get into how we can reflect as creatives. Now, this method I came across from a blog post written on the Monday Munch. It's from the Cutting Room Floor, and it's a weekly nugget of creative and or business insight to kick your week into gear. So these are, it's on a website. I'll link to it in the show notes. And then digging into this blog post, it linked me to actually where this method came about, which is from How to Run Your Own Annual Review by Jason Shen. And this was actually recorded or written in 2017. So this is before COVID, before pandemic and all of these things, but this really, really resonated with me because it wasn't just, like I said earlier, tracking KPIs. So New Year's resolutions have a really bad reputation. And like I said earlier about, you know, most of us make some sort of New Year resolution or New Year goal, I'll say, but most of us don't stick to that resolution because the reason why we don't satisfy those resolutions or those goals is because they're just hopes and dreams, right? Nothing happens when you're dreaming. Nothing happens when you're hoping. And because we don't put a strategy behind those hopes and dreams, we don't see the outcome that we want to see. All right. So in a research study by John Norcross and his colleagues at the University of Scranton, that they determined that just under half of people who make resolutions were successful in changing their behavior. Because a lot of people, they try hard to make, and they make a real effort, but they don't adopt any new behavior, right? If you do the same, things stay the same. They didn't necessarily impact that the resolutions they were making, that there was a real severity of that issue. Like for me, losing weight, I don't think I fully reflected when I started out to get a little bit healthier how much my unhealthy habits were impacting my life. And because I didn't have a good handle on how much those were impacting my life, I really didn't have a clue of how much work and how hard it was going to be to make that change in my life for those things to go away. So a lot of times when we're resolving to do things, we really don't have a clear picture of how that's impacting our life in a negative way. And a lot of times what happens with resolutions is when things get hard, we give up. Or we say we don't want to do these things. Or maybe it's not worth it anymore because we become uncomfortable. Now, obviously a little bit of realization plays a great, it's a huge, huge component of successful goal setters, right? So the eye of self-reflection as a component of being successful with those goals is really well known, but it's something that's really not taught very often. We set the goals, set the goals, set the goals. But if you're setting goals and you're not reflecting on how you're going to reach those goals, it's really, really going to be a disservice. So here's a quote that says, "Extraordinary individuals stand out in the extent to which they reflect, often explicitly. They reflect on the events of their lives, large as well as small. By seizing the opportunity to leverage and frame these experiences, we gain over them. In this heightened agency, in turn, it places us in a stronger position to deal with future expectations, even as it may alter our own sense of strengths and possibilities." Whew. That's a mouthful. And in a podcast, you probably didn't get that all the way. Basically, what this is saying is that successful goal setters reach those goals by reflecting back on what happened in the past and what type of person they are to achieve those goals in the future, right? Okay, so here's a few things of what you need to really do a comprehensive annual review. You need some uninterrupted time. You're going to need some time to reflect. So this is not the type of thing to do when the kids are at your feet, when maybe you're watching a baseball game with your little leaguer or driving to school or anything like that. Now, you might be listening to the podcast, but when it comes to actually reflecting on doing this, you're going to need some quiet, still time. You're going to need a journal or a piece of paper to keep notes on. You're going to obviously need some writing instruments, right? And other things. And then when this is all said and done, you're probably going to need to talk about this with someone. Now, it could be your business coach, and I'm talking with my clients with these things all at this point in time right now. It could be a close personal friend. It could be someone who knows you very well. But really, the first step of putting these reflections and getting them solidified is also getting someone else's opinion on them. And if they're reasonable for you, we can't see what we can't see. And we're always so self-focused that we need someone else in the world to help us with these things. So step one, this is the first thing that you need to do. Since we're closing the chapter of 2022, we need to reflect back on that chapter. And a way to do that is just spend some time going through your Instagram feed, going through your Facebook feed. If you keep a journal, go back and read some journal entries. Maybe go back and run through your emails, go through your calendar. Remind yourself of everything that you've done and experienced this year. You can look at text messages, everything that we have the wonderful, wonderful benefit of having a digital diary of our lives. If you are contributing in that way, we can go back just like kind of like Facebook memories. They bring up posts from a couple years ago that you might want to see and reflect on. Go back through those things. Reflect upon your year. What were some of those highlights? What made you feel awesome and proud and loved and connected? And what were some of the low parts? What was hard? You know, what hurt your feelings? What made you angry? What really made you sad? And then what did you learn? Because I trust you, you learned a lot this year, even though you may not think that you did. And reflecting back in this way is going to help you see those things. Now, spend some time doing this. And honestly, I would set a timer for this. I would not spend all day. I would maybe spend an hour doing this. This is not a painful exercise at all. I find great joy in doing this. But just reflecting on those three questions, what were the highlights, what were the lowlights, and what did you learn? And generate some of your thoughts on this. Write them down. And here's some things that you might want to consider. Did anything surprise you? What stood out? Have any of these events changed you? And what do you think you're going to remember 5 years from now? Right? Just reflect on those things. And if you have a friend or someone that you're doing this with, which I would actually encourage you to do because it can be a lot of fun, take a few minutes, maybe 10, 15 minutes, and talk about these things and figure these out. So again, you're going to write a summary of things that you had last year, and then you're going to write a plan for next year. So next year, you want to also have highlights, lowlights, lessons. And then another thing is you can name your year if you want. I had a year of yes a couple years ago, and that was what I labeled my year. It was the year of yes. And I did everything I was asked to do for a year in business, specifically. I had took some really crappy jobs, I'm not going to lie, and some things that I won't do again, but I learned a lot in the process. So I don't necessarily recommend everybody do a year of yes, but you know, it could be the year of scraping by, and next year could be the year of rising above, or the year of the great attitude, if you need to work on your attitude. You can name your year, but we're going to move forward and we're going to plan for our highlights, our lowlights, and our lessons. Sometimes life doesn't automatically hit us in the face with the wisdom and the lessons that we need to get, right? Sometimes we need to dig a little deep and be like, okay, what did I learn here? What was the lesson that I was supposed to learn out of this experience? And sometimes we can't see it ourselves. And that is why it's so an added benefit of doing this with someone else. Okay, so that's step one. Step two is you're going to do kind of a life audit, because we know everything that happens in life is going to happen, is going to impact in business and vice versa. Everything feeds off each other. So the goal of a life audit is to take a broad look, a very broad look at different parts of your life and see what's going well and see what might need attention. And everyone has different numbers in this area. There's no right or wrong. There's no shame when it comes to these things. But here are eight things that are suggested that you take a look at. You want to rate each of these 1 to 5: health and fitness, friends and community, love and relationships, family, creativity and adventure, career, money and finances, and emotional well-being. All right. With your life audit, you want to rate those things 1 to 5. And then once you've done it, think a little bit of why you rated them that way. You might have some knee-jerk reactions of why you would rate, say, career a 3. Okay, but why are you rating it a 3? What is making you come to that answer of a 3, right? And then if you have some things that are in a 1 or a 2, why? Why are they a 1 or a 2? And do you want to address that? And sometimes you don't. Say for some reason, emotional well-being, you rate that a 1. And you're like, you know what? Things just kind of suck right now. And that's just the way it is. If you reflect on it and you realize you don't want to get help in that area, which I highly suggest you do, right? We all want to be emotionally healthy. But if you don't want to, indicate why, and at least have an awareness of why you don't want to make progress in that area. Okay. And this is step 3. This is the final step. See, I told you this would be really easy and painless. You want to look forward. So you want to start thinking about what's going to happen next year. Now that you know kind of where you're at, where do you want to go next year? What are some of the things that you want to do? How do you want to improve on the areas that you reflected on? So again, I would suggest you set a timer for this section as well. And I would write down 2 lists. What are the big lists? This is the big list, right? Write down everything you want to accomplish, contribute, or become in the next year. Write down everything. And this is where you can be as crazy as you want to be. This list is for you. What do you want to accomplish? And then out of the big list, you write your short list. Look at through that long list of goals in your big list. And what are 3 to 5 things that if you achieved them would make your next year a huge win? Don't overthink it. Focus on the must-haves, not the nice-to-haves. Focus on the things that you have to do, right? That's your short list. Now, then with your nice to have things, put them on a Google Drive list, put them in a note, record them so you have them for next year and that you can access them during the year. Because what happens if you succeed and you do a must have on your list and you're done with that by the end of March? You have 9 more months out of the year to do something else. Go back to your nice to have list and pull something else out that you can work on. I kind of call the nice to have list your parking lot. When you're working on a whole lot of goals and you have a whole lot of things that you want to get done, you have your must do's, you have your would like to do's, and then you have your in the future, in a perfect world, I'd like to do, right? And as those things shift around, that would be nice to do in the future, I call the parking lot. And you want to have a full parking lot, so that when these other things get done, you can move some of these things into those other lists, out of the parking lot and onto the road. All right. So one thing you have to do with your short list, when things move into the big list, and then you move them into your short list, right, of the things that you're going to actively work on, you need to define how you're going to consider those things a success. Right? Is it as cut and dry as saying, yes, I did this, or no, I did not do this? And that's what determines if it's a success. Or are there some gray areas? So for everything that you want to accomplish, you also need to take the next step of saying, okay, as I work on this, what is going to be the defining factor of what is a success when it comes to this area? And if it's financially, it can be a number. If it's emotionally, it could be how you handled a certain situation. If it's with a relationship, it can be like maybe you got, like with your spouse, maybe you went 30 days without arguing or bickering, right? But what is going to define that success? And that is where a lot of people drop the ball, because you're working, but you've never defined a so-called finish line. Now, we know in business, nothing is ever finished, but you need to be able to define what is a success or what is the finish line in some of these areas and where you're going to put it aside. You either accomplished it or you didn't, and now you can move on to something else. Because as creatives, I know a lot of us have sparkly, shiny syndrome, and we get distracted. So we need to have new ideas and new things in the funnel all the time. But eventually we need to finish these other things too. So what does that look like? So what is your motivation for everything that you put on your short list? Why are you doing it? Is it to make more money? Is it to have a happier marriage? Is it to become more healthy? Is it to have your kids have a better future? And if you say something like that, be specific. You know, it's not just for your kids to have a better future. What does it mean for them to have a better future? Is it to go to a better school, to help them get better grades, to introduce them to certain people that can help them to work with them to get them into a better college or for them to get a better job? Be very specific about that, because you'll get lost in the generalness of it all. The specificity will help you. And then the last thing is, are your things on your list ambition enough? So imagine it's the end of the year and you were able to accomplish 60 to 80% of your target for some of these goals. How satisfied would that make you? Is 60 to 80% a successful amount for you? Or do you only want to be okay with 100% finishing on these targets? You need to define that for yourself. And you can be ambitious about this. And if you find things that, if you're only going to define success as being 100% accomplished in certain areas and only be able to do 100 things on your list, and that's your only definition of what's going to be a successful year for you, let me encourage you to lower your standards a little bit. You're never going to hear that statement said with any of the goal setters and the goal setting things that you're going to see coming out in the next week. Because part of accomplishing your goals is making sure that, yes, they're lofty enough and yes, they're hard to reach, but also so that you feel like you can be confident in achieving them. It does you no good emotionally to set a whole bunch of goals that realistically, after reflection and after writing your big list and your short list and all the steps that we've talked about in this podcast, if they just cannot happen. For example, if you want a Bugatti, if you don't know what a Bugatti is a car that can cost over $1 million. If you want a Bugatti at the end of the year, by all means, work towards having the Bugatti. I'm not gonna like downplay that at all. But you have better have a really good strategy to be able to not only just afford the car, but in the long term, afford the expenses and everything that goes with it. You know, $25,000 oil changes are no big, you know, nothing to sneeze at for most of us. And so I'm not telling you to not reach for a Bugatti, whatever that is in your life. But I am telling you that for your mental ability and for you to actually make progress on your long list of goals, you need to have things on that list that are actually attainable for you, because the mental stress of moving forward towards goals that you will never realistically accomplish, you won't do it. You'll be done by the end of January or even before that. But if you have some things on your list that are realistic for you to attain, plus some big lofty ones, and you're working towards everything at the same time, give yourself some emotional wins every once in a while and realize that those small goals are getting you towards your bigger goals, and that's okay. All right? So you take all these things and you write them down, and then you chart the path. You're almost done. You want to chart the path. Like I said earlier, you need to have a strategy for achieving these goals. So each goal usually has a milestone. If your goal is a six-figure business, realizing that that's not all going to happen in November of next year, how are you going to get that six-figure business moving forward? And how are you going to chip away at that $100,000 goal throughout the year? So what are the milestones? What does it look like at the end of first quarter, end of second quarter, end of third quarter? How much will you have earned? How are you planning for that? What are some of the new things that you need to put in place to reach that goal? What are some of the connections that you need to make to reach that goal? Who do you need to reach out to, right? And what are some of the things you need to give up? And sometimes when you're talking about things to give up, it also means people you need to give up. But mostly it's habits, behaviors, and attitudes that you need to drop in the new year to help reach your goal. So these questions are designed to get you thinking and check in on your list every 3 months to make sure that you're staying on goal. So it's been said that we overestimate what we can do in a year, but then we underestimate what we can do in a decade. And it's really common to feel like setting all these goals, it's a nice exercise. It helps us dream a little bit, but really they're pointless when it comes to adopting a strategy that'll help our business. Great businesses and great lives are not built on luck and chance. They're built by making specific actions toward a specific goal. My weight loss journey this year was not built on chance. It wasn't one of these things that I decided to just wake up one day like, oh, let's just see if we can lose some weight. I think about it every day. I strategize every day. I think about what I eat, when I'm going to eat, how I'm going to get my vitamins in, how much fluid I'm going to take, when I'm going to exercise, how long I'm going to exercise, and what I'm going to do for that exercise. And that's just one area of my life. I do the same thing with my business, with my social media, with my marriage, with my financial planning, and with my relationships. Everything is done with intention. And I'm not saying I have that intense intention, like with my diet, every single day, but it is an overwhelming thing of I just don't want to do things by chance. And I understand that the success that I've had in my life is because I don't do things by chance. I do things by strategy. And that is one thing that I would really, really like to impart with you this year. If you want to do something, by all means do it, but take a little time behind the scenes to think about how you're going to make it happen. Just like I tell my clients, great portrait sessions do not happen by accident. Great branding sessions do not happen by accident. They don't happen by chance. The life that I lead does not happen by chance. Your life will not happen by chance. If this is something that you need help with, I would love to work with you in the upcoming year. I'm doing some coaching specials, and if you contact me about one-on-one coaching and you mention the word focal points or podcast, any three of those words, I have a great special for you. Let's get you moving in the direction that you want to move for your business and your life. And I promise you, by the end of 2023, it can look so much different than what it looks like now, because we will create a strategy to get you to where you want to go. All right. As always, we have a handout for this on the Focal Points podcast page. Go to focalpointspodcast.com, get the download. It will help you through this because I know a lot of you are not sitting at your desk right now. You're out and about and you're like, oh, this is really great, but I'm not going to remember any of it. Hit the show notes page, get the download, and then also make sure that you've signed up for your 75% off sample from Enphoto. You don't want to miss this. Have a great day, everybody, and we'll see you next week. Bye. Thank you for listening. This has been Focal Points, an Enphoto podcast hosted by Dori Howell. We hope you've enjoyed the show and we will see you next time.